Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
go, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Monday night, August 13th. This is the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. Over there's Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Good evening, Dave.
How are you?
Good. It's good to be with you. How are you?
It's great to have you. I like doing it with you. I'm good, thanks. How's the weather there, boy? We had a nice cool day here today.
Oh, it's fabulous here. It's like
absolutely
fall. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. About Dog and I went out this morning. It was 69 degrees. I think we hit a high of maybe 79 today. It was absolutely perfect. I went outside in the front yard and built a wall and did some other outside stuff.
Air conditioning's been off for like 3 days. I can't
yeah
believe it. It's
that's great. Okay, what do you think of Paul Ryan, Lisa?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask me that question. I'm fine with it. I kind of think my attitude is, you know, he could have put Donald Duck on the ticket, and I would have been fine with it, pretty much.
Right, right.
You know, I don't think it hurts him, you know. Paul Ryan's just fine. I'm sure that, you know, they're going to find problems with him. Everybody's got problems, but he's certainly better than most. So, you know, let's just keep going. Let's just keep moving.
Absolutely. I'm not in love with Paul Ryan any more than I'm in love with Mitt Romney. So don't you people call up here at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835 and say that that I'm a huge Romney supporter. I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. I've made that clear since the day it became final that he was going to be the nominee. I don't like Paul Ryan on his stand on the Patriot Act. I don't like Paul Ryan for NDAA. But listen, and listen, grassroots folks out there tonight, you need to know this. You need to memorize this kind of stuff because this is what's coming at you. Already in Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is trotting around down there on the stump for President Obama, saying that Paul Ryan wrote a budget that was going to take away all of senior citizens' Medicare, that he was stripping Medicare. And that is not a fact. Know your facts. The fact is that Paul Ryan is the only person in the United States House of Representatives or the United States Senate who has, to date, advanced a budget that specifically saved Medicare. Now, it did change Medicare. It changed Medicare so that anyone under 55, the day it passes, would fall into a system of vouchers, of medical vouchers, to pay for their doctor bills, to help pay for their medical care. Anyone over 55, that is anyone currently on Medicare and who will go on Medicare in the next 10 years, no change at all. The American government will keep its contract with you if you are 55 or over. That projected out to actually save Medicare. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democrats who are walking around saying that Paul Ryan wants to kill Medicaid, they have already stripped $500 billion out of Medicaid to help balance Obamacare. And President Obama's proposed budget, which is never going to pass, asked for another $800 billion next year to come out of Medicaid for a total of $1.3 trillion that the Democrats want to strip from Medicaid to pay for Obamacare. I mean, who's trying to wreck Medicaid, Lisa?
Yeah, loaded question. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And so you folks know this because you're going to get hit with this right upside of the head every time a liberal comes up and talks to you, every time an Obama supporter comes up to talk to you, they're going to try to divert the discussion away from the failures of President Obama, away from the soaring still unemployment rate, away from the fact that we're an extra $9 trillion in debt from the day he came to work, the fact that we just that our total debt is $15 trillion, that we just raised the debt ceiling by $3 trillion, that he's done nothing about the war in Afghanistan, that he did something about the war in Iran, and that place is already falling apart without us there. You've got to try to divert that discussion to something, and it might as well be Paul Ryan is trying to shove Grandma off a cliff. So you folks be ready for that. Lisa, you did a lot of work today on the flyer that we're going to have up very quickly after the show tonight on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for you folks to download about what is real and what is not real on Prop E, didn't you?
Well, you know, I mean, I just tried to add some comments to the great foundation that you already laid, Dave. Yeah, we are working very hard, you and I, Dave, and some friends of ours, trying to craft some great language to very succinctly and precisely give the right information about Proposition E, because you won't get it when you read the ballot language in November at the polls. And we want to inform and educate the folks on what Proposition E really is and what you will be voting for and agreeing to when you go to the polls in November.
That's right. And Lisa and I are going to go into that for you tonight as soon as we come back from break. That's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight. We've talked about Paul Ryan. We're going to talk about Prop E, and we're going to continue to talk about Prop E. I may mention, even if only for 2 or 3 minutes, Prop E on every show between now and the November election, because that's the tricky one. And we're also going to talk about Amendment 3. We talked about that at length Friday. And again, another thing that even again, if I only mention it for 2 or 3 minutes, just to remind you of what it is and how you'd ought to be talking about this to the folks out there who are undecided, I'm going to mention that on every show. Prop E, Amendment 3, Prop E, Amendment 3. I'm going to talk about that on every show. Lisa and I are going to get right into Prop E when we come back from break.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Here we are. We're back. This is the Voice of Liberty. I'm Dave. Lisa's right over there. Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Dave. How are you tonight?
She's still good. We've been gone for a minute and a half, and she's still good. I'm good, but you know who's not good? We got some sad news today at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Vaughn, who we've all come to know and love from the Tuesday night show, Show Me Common Sense. She's going to take a leave of absence. She's not feeling well, and so she's going to be away from us indefinitely. We don't know how long Vaughn's going to be away, but we're going to regroup. We're going to probably at least tomorrow night, because this is sudden for us, replay one of a Best of Vaughn show. And we will have something figured out for you folks by next Tuesday night. I mean, even if it's me coming on here and blabbing to you for another 60 minutes, which I'm sure you could just have enough of already. But yes, our prayers and thoughts are with Vaughn as she goes through something personal. And we want to reach out to her, and we want to let her know that here at Missouri Grassroots Radio, we love her, and that the listeners adore her, and that anything we do with Tuesday nights is very temporary in our minds until Vaughn can retake her position as the queen of Tuesday nights. Don't you think, Lisa?
Absolutely. We're all just waiting for her to take care of her business and so that she can come back.
Okay, so what is Prop E, Lisa?
Prop E's a big darn mess. That's what Prop
It's about something about insurance exchanges.
It's the biggest, it is just a travesty. I get angry every time I look at this bill, and I cannot believe that the elected officials can behave in this way and maintain their position in office, because this was just absolutely shameful what happened here with Prop E. Well, and on a lot of levels, but we'll just stick with the ballot language here for tonight. Robin Carnahan, which it's her job to write ballot language when the ballot language isn't passed through legislatively to her, and she wrote some ballot language that, in my mind and in my opinion, was just absolutely shameful and totally misrepresented the reality of the situation and misrepresents the reality of the bill. Proposition E, which is an initiative that is being put before the voters in November for them to decide whether or not they want the governor or the state legislature to have control over initiating and maintaining and funding mandated health insurance exchanges as mandated by Obamacare. It's that simple. Do you want the governor to have complete control, or do you want the legislature to have control? And generally, when you're appropriating funds, it's the legislature's job, and it was always their responsibility to do so. So they've decided that it has to be put up to a vote to the people, for the people to decide. But this ballot language does not reflect any of that. So here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we've taken it upon ourselves to make this an issue. We're going to try to do our very best to educate and inform the people of Missouri about this ballot language and this initiative so that they can go and make the right choice in November.
Absolutely. And just to review, folks, the legislation behind this this proposition comes from a history of the governor. This is not an end run by the legislature. This comes from a history. Twice during the last legislative session, of the governor trying to bypass the legislature and take over the establishment of healthcare exchanges. There's a lot of blog, a lot of talk in the forum at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. We've only got 60 minutes tonight. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org will tell you what an insurance exchange is. It'll tell you how the insurance exchange is connected to Obamacare. It will talk to you about how an insurance exchange needs to be adopted in the state, provided Obamacare passes. It's a requirement. We're stuck with it. If Obamacare stays, I didn't mean to say if it passes, if it stays, we're stuck with it. And so, assuming that we get stuck with it, who is going to spend, who is going to allocate all this money, and who is going to plan and organize and administer these healthcare exchanges? The idea is now the legislature never wanted to administer these. That is actually a function of the executive branch, administering a program like this. But as far as appropriating the money, as far as establishing and creating the program and defining what the program is, that is the duty of your elected representative. So the legislature wrote a bill that said the governor can't do this on his own. He can't take two or three appointed bureaucrats and say, okay, you guys go out and give the great people of Missouri a health insurance exchange that they have to live with, whether they want to or not. He can't spend the millions, maybe billions of dollars that are going to come flooding into the state without specific appropriations from the legislature, all things that he actually made attempts to do in the last legislative session. So they said, whoa, put the brakes on that. We're going to be gone for the rest of the year here, and we want to make sure that the governor doesn't do something that he should not be doing that is our responsibility to do. And so they wrote this proposition, and the proposition was, do you want to deny the governor the right to single-handedly and bureaucratically establish a health care exchange? I think I have that right, Lisa, so far.
Yeah, I think so. I have the ballot language up.
Okay. And so from that, and here it is. Here is the proposition that the legislature wrote. That we, the people of Missouri, do not want the governor to have this authority. That we, the people of Missouri, want that authority to rest with your representatives in Jefferson City with the state legislature where it belongs. That is the proposition. This is the way we want it to happen, the way it's supposed to happen in the Constitution. Now tell us what the Secretary of State turned that into, Lisa.
I get angry every time I look at it. Shall Missouri law be amended to deny individuals, families, and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans through state-based health benefit exchanges unless authorized by statute, initiative, or referendum, or through an exchange operated by the federal government, which is nationalized health care, as required by the Federal Health Care Act?
Okay. Go ahead.
So, you know, reading this ballot language, you're going to deny widows and children and you know, individuals and anybody else access to health care, which is not doesn't have anything to do with what the reality is of this legislation. I mean, it's completely false, and I don't understand why that was allowed to go through. It, actually, we need to touch base with Peter Kinder and find out if his lawsuit got anywhere.
We do. Yeah, let's do that. Let's plan on doing that this week and see if we can – maybe we can get him on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday even, just grab 5 minutes of his time and get an update on that. So basically what Lisa read you, I mean, should the state of Missouri deny affordable health care to families and deny the right of employers to buy health insurance for their employees? I mean, who in their right mind, not having a clue, who in their right mind would go in and say, yes, the state of Missouri should deny someone health care and deny employers the right to buy health care for their employees? Who would do that? Who would vote yes for that? Well, we hope you would, because that thing that Lisa read you is a lie. It's a lie. If you vote yes, all you are saying is, I don't want the governor to do this. I want my legislature to do this. It doesn't say there's not going to be any health exchanges. In the first place, with or without health exchanges, nobody is being denied insurance by the state of Missouri. If you vote yes or you vote no, nobody is being denied affordable health care by the state of Missouri, period. And no employer, whether you vote yes or no, is being denied the right to buy health care for his employees. It isn't, none of that has anything to do with this. Am I right, Lisa?
That's absolutely right.
So know this. I mean, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, read the forums, read all the blogs, learn what a health care exchange is, because listen, you are the soldiers out on the streets, folks. You are the soldiers out on the streets meeting people day to day at your work, at the grocery store, at your club, at your church, who have these legitimate questions when they pick up a sample ballot about why in the hell are we in favor of stripping health care away from orphans and widows. I mean, why in the world would we ever want to take away my boss's right to buy me insurance? And those are legitimate questions. If you pick up a sample ballot and you read it, that's a legitimate question. Because the average person who gets up and goes to work every day doesn't keep in touch with what the legislature wrote. All they do is they read a question on the ballot, and they believe that they can reasonably answer the question yes or no. And in doing so, they have to be able to believe that the question that's written on the ballot is really the question being asked. And yeah, I'm with you, Lisa. That just pisses me off every time I read it.
And even for those who will go and do the research, it's even more heinous because the fair ballot language is written in the same way. The fair ballot language states a yes vote will amend Missouri law to deny individuals, families, and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans. It's written the same way.
Yeah.
So this is a heinous abuse of authority, in my opinion.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. So listen, on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, if I can figure out how to do it, maybe you know how to do it, Lisa. I couldn't. I looked at it today for about an hour, and I can't figure out how to do it, and maybe we can't. We may have to do it on the Facebook page where you could put a doc up that people could download. I can't find a place at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org that we can store a doc, a downloadable doc. But you're the WordPress pro, so tonight, hopefully, if not first thing in the morning, I promise, even if we have to use Facebook or just give you a link on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org to a place where you can download this. But anyway, there's going to be a one-page flyer. It's going to come in two colors, red and black, but you will be able to just print this off. I mean, there's no graphics. It's just words. So you'll get a fine print if you just want to print it off in one color. And it basically says to you, and you can print off, I mean, download this and print off 100, print off 50, print off 25, print off however many are at your church or however many are at your meeting tomorrow night or however many are at your work, and start getting these things out on the street. Leave a stack of them on the counter at your grocery store where you work or at the golf club. Or wherever it is that people need to know what's going on here. And, you know, it's like Amendment 2 that we just dealt with, folks. I mean, there are legitimate arguments that I'll take on for why you should have accepted Amendment 2 and why you as opposed to my argument of why you should not have accepted Amendment 2. And there are legitimate arguments. The only thing that irritates me is the least you'd ought to expect from your elected officials is the honesty of knowing when you go into the voting booth that you can read the words and know what you're voting for. You know, vote yes, vote no, as your conscience dictates, but you have a right to know what the hell you're voting for. Or against. So,
especially, you have the right to expect a certain behavior from your elected officials that they have to present the truth to you, and this is not that.
No, so, it's not. I mean,
go ahead, David.
No, go ahead.
Not only do you need to be informed and educated about what these ballot initiatives are, which you should always anyway, you have to go to extra lengths because of the way this ballot language was written to truly understand what the reality is of the bill and what the initiative is all about. And that is just absolutely unreasonable to expect of anybody to do. And I find it egregious.
I'm repeating some talking points from some interviews that I did. I have not done this research myself, but I did hear this from both Shane Scholder and from Peter Kinder as I was interviewing them. And those things were that this Secretary of State is the most challenged in history when it comes to writing ballot language. In fact, except for Prop E, three of the things that are going to be on the ballot just came from the Supreme Court, all three having been challenged, the cigarette tax, the police in St. Louis. Yeah. Yeah, and something else. Now, the cigarette tax, by the way, folks, is not going to be on the ballot. It did not have enough signatures to get certified. But, I mean, before it was even certified, it had been challenged in the court because of the language that the Secretary of State had tried to adopt for it. So so there we are with that. Proposition E, if you vote yes on Proposition E, you are voting to reserve the right, the responsibility, the power to establish an insurance exchange, to reserve that power to your elected representatives in the Senate and House of Representatives, the way it should be, to reserve the power of appropriating money associated with those insurance exchanges to your elected representatives in the Senate and the House, and to not allow the governor to single-handedly appoint a bureaucratic panel to establish these exchanges in an unaccountable fashion, and to appropriate money to these exchanges totally unaccountable to you. Now, you know, the undertow here, of course, is that 7 out of 10 of you, and probably 10 out of 10 of the people that are listening here, voted for Prop C last year and said, we don't want the thing at all. So the Secretary of State, not liking that, is trying to undermine you and swing this in the wrong direction. So if you vote yes, you're saying, I want the legislature to be the ones responsible, if we ever get to a point where we have to, for establishing these exchanges. And again, if Obamacare doesn't get overturned, be writing Paul Ryan today. If Obamacare doesn't get overturned, you're stuck with the exchanges. Go learn what they are. Go learn about them. They're evil. And if you vote no, you are voting to – and see, that's another thing. Carnahan says – you still got that ballot language in front of you, Lisa? Because I don't.
I do.
She says if you vote yes, you're voting to change the Constitution, or if you vote no, you're voting to preserve the Constitution. She gets the word Constitution in there somewhere, and she gets it all wrong.
A vote yes will amend Missouri law to deny individual families and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans through state-based health benefit exchanges unless authorized by statute, initiative, or referendum through the exchange operated by federal government as released by the Federal Health Care Act. So it does change the law.
How does a vote yes change the law?
It amends the Constitution. And so we do want to amend the Constitution to take the complete power away from the governor.
Well, I don't think Prop E isn't a constitutional amendment. I believe that the current law constitutionally would say that only the House of Representatives can appropriate money.
Oh, well,
I think all the legislatures are saying is, slow down, Jay. Follow the law here.
That's a very good point. I may be wrong on that. I haven't read the full bill text today.
It doesn't have the word amendment in its title, so I don't think that we're doing anything to the Constitution. But I believe the current law in the state of Missouri would lead us to believe that this was our legislature's responsibility to start with. I mean, I think that's why this thing got slapped together at the last minute, is because some legislator said, whoa, wait a minute, Uncle Jay is trying to run with this ball, and it's not his to run with. So anyway,
don't we have a trend in on the liberal side of politics to be executive order happy?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, no doubt about it.
This to me just reflects that on a state level.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Our governors and our presidents, and listen, I don't want to say on the liberal side, George Bush was incredibly bad about doing things by executive order. So, I mean, this, and this is why, and this is why as a grassroots group, we've got to, I mean, if you're a Republican and you're in the grassroots movement, your objective is to take your party back. If you're a libertarian and you're in the grassroots movement, you'll be on the side of the Republicans, but you want to take the country back. And I don't mean to say that Lisa and the Republicans don't want to take the country back, but they see taking back their party, which has gone totally rhino on them, as lockstep with taking the country back. And I don't particularly think it's necessary that we take any party back. If we could get grassroots people together to take the country back. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is that we are living in an age where Republican or Democrat, governor or president, these executives look at themselves as emperors, Lisa.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've had that problem for a long time with elected on any level.
That's right.
And it's partially our fault. We treat our elected like rock stars. You know, we've given them the authority and the title, you know,
yep.
and they've totally taken control of that.
Yep. All the way down to giving them some prime time on MTV.
Well, you know, when the President of the United States has time to go on late night comedy talk shows, you know, you just kind of have to wonder where the priorities are in things.
I saw the First Lady on, I was walking through the living room the other day in the middle of the day, somebody that's on in the middle of the day, some gay woman on in the middle of the day.
Linda Jenner.
No. Short blonde hair.
DeGeneres.
Oh, yeah, Ellen DeGeneres, that's right. First Lady's on the Ellen DeGeneres Show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Kind of says a lot about where the culture's gone, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
When you and I were growing up, that would have never happened in a million years.
No. I mean, and not even as early as when we were growing up. Well, maybe when you were growing up, but Ronald Reagan. Jimmy Carter, as much as you hated him. You know, I mean, these guys were presidential. They held some respect for the office, and they expected you to hold some respect for the office. They didn't consider themselves emperors, but by all means, they maintained the decorum of the office. They recognized that they were one in a long line of honored people to hold that office, and they wanted to preserve the dignity of that office for those that followed them.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you get Mitt Romney in office now, and listen, I think Mitt Romney will add a little bit more decorum to the office than Barack Obama, for certain. And going all the way back to Bill Clinton and the saxophone playing on MTV, where it all started. But Mitt Romney is announcing his VP candidate on Twitter. I mean, whatever happened to the day when you have a press conference, you call the press corps in, you stand up there in your suit and tie, and you make this announcement, and you take questions.
Those days are gone.
Those days are gone. Let's try to get them back.
Yes.
Okay, so Prop E, you folks want to vote yes. You folks want to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and you want to download this pamphlet. You want to print off as many as you need. Take them to Kinko's or print them off on your home printer. They're one color if you want them to be. They're two colors if you want them to be. And get them passed out. You are the boots on the ground to get this thing done. I am telling you, folks, this ought to be in a state that went 71% for Prop C. This ought to be a no-brainer for all of us. This is a yes vote for 70% to 80% of the people in the state of Missouri. But if we don't get the word out, the way this language is, we're going to lose. We're going to lose because people are going to vote no, who meant to vote yes, and once you walk out of the voting booth, there's no do-overs.
Let me give the lecture that we need to start giving, Dave.
Okay.
About casting a wider net. Okay. Many of us over the last few months have been working hard to promote candidates. Some of us have been running for local offices, committee man, committee woman, you know, whatever, because we as grassroots folks feel that we need to step up to make a difference, to be able to take back our government and to be a positive influence for bringing conservative roots back into the government. Okay, so many of us are involved. We have Tea Party organizations or grassroots organizations that we're members of, and we see the same people at the meetings every time we go to a meeting. That's fine. You know, those numbers are growing, but to be really effective, folks, you got to cast a wider net, and now's the time to start doing that. So with this initiative, with this Prop E education initiative, what you need to do is not only take copies to your grassroots meetings and tell all of those folks about it, what you need to do is you need to print off 50 copies and then walk your neighborhood and put them on doorknobs, because you need to cast a wider net. You got to stop talking to the people in your political circles in your bubble. You got to go beyond your bubble and expand a little bit and be able to walk your neighborhood with these things and kind of stretch the boundaries that you're used to dealing with your political associations, because we are never going to win this fight talking to each other. We all get it and we all agree. It's time now to make a difference. You don't have to engage in a huge debate. You don't have to be the uncomfortable person talking politics at the office party, but you do need to do something. And this flyer is a very easy way to engage and to get people involved and informed by just offering them the information, and you need to do it outside your political bubble.
That's right. Email it to your friends. Email it to your liberal friends. Email it to your conservative friends. Email it to friends that you don't normally talk to about politics, who aren't necessarily members of all the same groups that you're a member of. Give it to your friends at church who don't even know that you're, maybe you're a secret grassrootser. Maybe at the office you're a secret churchgoer, and at church you're a secret grassrootser. So get out there and get this known. And I want to say something else about grassroots movements, and I really wanted to talk about this for a while tonight, but I'm just going to touch on it, and I'm going to come back to this with a long rant probably on Thursday. Representative Long from down in my part of the country was just knocked out in a primary. He won't be going back to Jefferson City. And what got him knocked out was this. There was an amendment to an appropriation bill, and that amendment had to do with stem cell research. And he voted no on the amendment. And the reason he voted no, and this is, I'm telling you, this is a guy who is pro-life as the word go. He has a child who he and his wife directly adopted from a girl who was going to abort, and they got a hold of her and they said, no, please, please, let us have this baby. That's where their son came from. He's 11 now, I believe. I want to say 11. It may be 13. This man has voted pro-life all his life. He has had a positive endorsement from Missouri Right to Life every time he's run for anything. And he voted no on this amendment. And the reason he voted no was because the amendment was unconstitutional. It had to do with appropriating money and to set a law the way this amendment said, that had to do with the appropriation of money, is a violation of the Constitution. And because he voted no on this, Missouri Right to Life abandoned him and actually went and endorsed his opponent, and his opponent won by a couple of hundred votes with that endorsement. And the reason I bring that up is because we've got to be very, very careful if we're a one-issue group. Because sometimes we get so lost in our issue that we lose sight of what? The Constitution that we're all here to build up. The Constitution that we're all here to get back. Representative Long had nothing against the focus of this amendment. He had nothing against the way the end that this amendment was trying to get to. But the means that this amendment did, and we'll get in more detail on this on Thursday, so tune in on Thursday. The means of this amendment, and I might even get a hold of Long and see if we can get him on. And this isn't Billy Long, by the way, folks. The means that this amendment used to try to achieve that end was unconstitutional, and bless his heart, he voted against it because it was unconstitutional. And this massive special interest group, God bless them, the Missouri Right to Life, dumped him because of that and endorsed his opponent, who's never had a voting record of any kind at all, for goodness sakes, but answered all the Right to Life questions properly. And he lost his race because a single issue organization had lost sight of the fact that the Constitution matters. So I just wanted to get that rant out there. To Lisa was talking about casting a wider net, and I'm trying to suggest to you that not only do you need to cast a wider net, but you need to have a wider view. If you're in a one issue group, that's great. Stay with your issue. Stay on your issue and know your issue and know it inside out. If your issue is education, if your issue is life, if your issue is property rights, if your issue is whatever your fair tax, whatever your issue is, if you're in it, stay passionate about it. But don't only throw a wider net, get a wider view. There's more in the world than your issue. Your issue is damned important. I know it is. It's important to all of us. And we appreciate you being on that issue. I mean, I don't know where I would be without the Gretchen Logues of the world and without the fair taxers of the world and without the, you know, the Lisa Payne Nagers of the world and with keeping an eye on these various things that are their issue so that they can feed that stuff out to us folks who, you know, nobody can stay up with everything. I mean, we love the one issue people. We need them and we want them, but for God's sake, get a wider view and understand that your issue, regardless of what it is, doesn't trump the Constitution of the state of Missouri. It just doesn't do it. That was a tragedy, an absolute tragedy that occurred, and shame on you, Missouri Right to Life. Shame, shame, shame. We're going to take a break. Alicia and I are going to come back. We're going to touch on Amendment 3 quickly. We're going to give you a preview of the week, and then we're going to bid you good night.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Voice of Liberty is leading the charge in that turning tide. We're here to help you make a change we need to make. We need our liberty back. We want our liberty back. We demand our liberty back. We talked about the emperors of the government tonight, and that's exactly where we're at, folks. The more and more and more these people do. I mean, do you even live in a free country anymore when you can't buy a light bulb you want to buy? Is this even a free country anymore? When you can't buy the kind of car you want to buy? Is this even a free country? Good Lord, do you know? Do you know? I don't know what you keep up with here, but do you know that there's a guy going to jail for 90 days for catching rainwater?
Where's this?
This was in we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that on Friday, and I'm sorry I should have that at my fingertips, but it just came to my mind again in this rant. It's in Oregon. It's in Oregon, I'm pretty sure. They have it's Oregon or Colorado, a state you wouldn't imagine because of the but I'm thinking Oregon, but that's not gospel, folks. So don't come screaming at me because I got it wrong. We'll talk about this Wednesday or Thursday night, or Friday night. I promise, in length. But there's a rule that says you can't divert rainwater that falls on your property from running off into the stream. This guy was catching rainwater to water his garden with, and he's going to jail for 90 days. Catching rainwater on his property. Do we even live in a free country anymore?
We are living in tyranny. People do not understand we are living in tyranny. And just because it hasn't touched people on a wider scale, it can happen to you any day. It's absolutely outrageous.
The government doesn't only own your job. They don't only own your home. They don't only own your property. They own the damn rain that falls on the ground. It just makes me so angry every time something like this comes up. So at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, what exactly are we doing here, Lisa?
You mean bigger picture?
What is Missouri Grassroots Coalition?
Missouri Grassroots Coalition.
People want to know.
Is more or less an umbrella organization for all of the independent grassroots organizations in Missouri to unite together and to network together, but also to remain independent and work on their individual issues to help bring constitutional conservative values back to the government. We're here for you to network together and to be one strong voice in Jefferson City when we need to come together for that, for one single issue.
And for example, of what Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about, we are not an authoritarian group. We don't govern anything at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. You are just a member of a larger group that is here to send one unified voice to Jefferson City, and as importantly, to support each other. So tonight, I want you to go to the Facebook page, and I want you to look down there. A lot of stuff is flying around tonight. The Ryan thing is taking everybody, so you might actually have to look down 10 or 12 posts. I want you to go to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Facebook page and find the Missouri Grassroots Coalition action item for today. In St. Charles County, you live up there near St. Charles County, don't you, Lisa?
Yes, I do.
In St. Charles County, here's what happened. Twice now, they've tried to pass a smoking ban. You folks know how we feel about smoking bans, and the way we feel about smoking bans, if you say you are a constitutional conservative, if you say you are a constitutionalist, if you say you are a libertarian, if you say you're about liberty, then by God, you need to feel the same way we do about smoking bans. They're bad, they're wrong, and they're evil. I don't care if you're a smoker, I don't care if you're a non-smoker, I don't care if you hate smokers, I don't care if you think cigarette smoke is the worst thing that ever happened since God created the earth. If you are in favor of liberty, it is all about, I took the $100,000 that I spent my life saving and I invested it in this business. I hire people, I pay taxes, this is my business, and you, by God, don't tell me whether someone inside my business can engage in illegal activity or not. It isn't about smoking, and it isn't about health. It's about, this is my business. I'm taking nothing away from anyone by having people in my business allowed to smoke. I'm taking no rights away from you. You don't have an inherent God-given right to come in the front door of my business. You have a right to go somewhere else. You have a right to do anything you want to do. You have a right to avoid the cigarette smoke. But in my business, majority does not rule. I rule. Right, Lisa?
Not anymore.
So anyway, to make things worse, I mean, after failing to pass this darn thing twice, and you're right down there in the hornet's nest on this thing, so tell me when I get something wrong, Lisa. I'm a bit geographically isolated from this. Then the citizens of St. Charles County got together. They got thousands and thousands and thousands of signatures, many more than they needed for a referendum. And they brought it to the city council, and they said, okay, here it is. We hate this. We hate having to do this, but we know you're going to keep pushing this thing. You and the One Air Alliance Nazis are going to keep pushing this thing until something bad happens. So here's a compromise. And every place that allows smoking has to put a big sign on the front door that says, hey, smoking is allowed in here, so don't come in here if you're offended by cigarette smoke. And they have to have a separate ventilated area, separately ventilated area to segregate the smokers into. And when they do that, then they can allow smoking. And smoking would be allowed in cigar shops and things like that. And smoking would be allowed in any place where a bar where the clientele is 21 years of age or older. And so they brought this compromise to the city council. And so that leaves the city council with two choices: either get this ban passed quickly or be faced with having to put this compromise on the ballot. What happens is, if they can get a ban passed quickly, now it's a referendum, and it's a legal referendum, and all the signatures are there, so it has to go on the ballot. But what the city council, or county council, I'm sorry, I keep saying city council, but it's a county council in St. Clair County, St. Charles County, what their plan is to get the smoking ban passed, and that way, instead of trying to put in a compromise smoking ban, you're actually trying to undo the law when you go to take this vote. You're trying to undo the smoking ban that's already been put in place. Anyway, go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition Facebook page. Look up this action item. The email address for every single committee person or council person or whatever county, we call them commissioners, county commissioners down here. Everybody that's running the county in St. Charles County is there. There's a sample email there. You can use it, copy and paste it, or you can write your own, or you can take that one and modify it in any way you please. All the addresses are there, and so go and do that. I mean, this is what Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about, folks. If you're down in Puddle Jump, Missouri, and you've got a problem down there, you should be able to come to your friends at Missouri Grassroots Coalition and say, we need some help. Okay, our friends in St. Charles County have come to us and said, we need some help. We need to bombard that council with emails saying, we're watching you. We're watching you. The people all over Missouri are watching you. We're watching what you do because we love freedom, because we love liberty, and we hate tyrants. So go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition Facebook page, find that action item, and do it tonight. Okay, Amendment 3, Lisa, is this crazy thing about the judges. I don't think we need to say anything more about it, really, except for the fact that I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent to whether this thing passes or not, because quite frankly, it's no better or it's no worse than what we've got now.
Yeah, it's a shameful and kind of a pitiful attempt for people to try to sell you that they're trying to make judicial reform. They're not trying to make judicial reform. Actually, Dave, you had a fabulous idea the other night when we were on the roundtable talking about how to get some real judicial reform, is that they need to, the legislature needs to approve these judicial appointments the way they do on a federal level. It's a fabulous idea. It's really the only way that'll work, and the only way that'll really give people the idea and an understanding about who is really sitting on the Supreme Court in Missouri.
And that's a blog that I've been working on for a couple of days. I'll have out either tonight or tomorrow morning.
An excellent
that,
idea.
That talks about that and talks about that in terms of what the things that Amendment 3 is trying to do and why Amendment 3 doesn't do those things and how this would do it. I mean, and quite frankly, listen, the Amendment 3, brothers and sisters, is about the accountability not of the judges, but of the people who appoint the judges. It is about the accountability of the people who decide who the judges are going to be, and those people are not currently accountable to you at all. And after Amendment 3 passes, they're not going to be accountable to you at all. I mean, you can say, I don't like the people you appointed to this panel, Mr. Governor, so I'm going to boot you out. But seriously as hell, folks, raise your hand right now in your living room. Raise your hand if you can name one person on this damn panel. So these people aren't accountable to you even through the governor because you don't know who the heck they are. And listen, what we need to be talking about rather than accountability of the people who appoint the judges is something Lisa's been talking to you about for a year now. And that is the accountability of the judges themselves. And that's what I deal with a little bit in this article you'll be reading tonight or tomorrow as well. And we need to get a handle on that. I mean, we really need to get a handle on judge accountability. And ladies and gentlemen, that's us. That is us. These judges do, I mean, no matter how they're appointed, no matter how they get appointed, whether they get appointed by the governor, whether they get appointed by the bar, whether they get appointed by the legislature, whether they get appointed by some guy some homeless guy in St. Louis whose name they pull out of a hat when it's time to pick a judge. It doesn't matter how they get appointed. A year after they're appointed, they go on your ballot for a retention vote. You've seen the questions, should we retain Judge John Jay for the Missouri Supreme Court? Yes or no? It's that simple. And what you do is you go into the voting booth and you say, who the hell's that? You know, well, yes, you know, okay, yes. Yes, the state isn't falling apart, yes. The fact of the matter is that you don't know the names of the Supreme Court justices who voted to throw out voter ID. You don't, do you? So when you walk into the booth and there it is, should Judge No Voter ID be retained, you're going to say yes because you don't have a clue.
Yeah, excellent point. You know, most of us can understand who the federal Supreme Court judges are because they're in the news.
They're in the news every day. Yeah,
they're reported on. We paid attention to when they were confirmed. We heard their names. You know, we can at least recognize their names, but that does not happen in Missouri. And I'm telling you that while we are all so busy paying attention to the executive and legislative branches, while we're trying to make changes there, the judiciary is operating under the cover of darkness, and they are doing more damage to our culture and our constitutional way of life than either of those other two branches. I have always been convinced of that.
That's right. And so what I'm going to try to get us to do at Missouri Grassroots Coalition is ask you people out there who are faithful members of Missouri Grassroots Coalition to help us to volunteer to be on a judicial panel. Now, we've got panels in groups that watch every bill that goes through the legislature. We've got We've got groups and panels that watch everything that has anything to do with education. We've got groups and panels that watch everything that has to do with property rights. We've got groups and panels following the fair tax and who's voting for it and who's voting against it. And there's nowhere in the state of Missouri that you can't go and Google up a list of who's in favor of the fair tax and who's not in favor of the fair tax and who's in favor of homeschooling, who's not in favor of homeschooling, and who's voting for right to life and who's not voting for right to life and who's voting for catching rainwater and who's voting against catching rainwater. But there's nowhere that you can go when you pull a sample ballot and bring it home, and the election is tomorrow, and you read on the sample ballot, shall we retain Judge Joe Schmo? There's nowhere you can go and say, what is Judge Joe Schmo's record? What's he done? What's he not done? What's his opinion? There's nowhere you can go to just pull that stuff up the way you could if there was a legislator's name on there and you wanted to know what's his life record or what's his fair tax record or what's his education record. You can go and put your finger right on that stuff in 30 minutes of research. Somebody's done that for you. God bless them. God bless them. But nobody's doing that for judges. And so I'm going to try to get my friends at Missouri Grassroots Coalition to get behind a panel of volunteers, of you folks out there. And we're talking some hard work here. We're talking some research. We're talking some volunteer time. We don't pay nobody. Even our great radio hosts like Lisa Payne Nager, we don't pay them. So it's volunteer work, but it's important work. It's really important work. You know, every one of us, there's not a one of you out there listening who hasn't griped about the judiciary. Not a one of you listening who hasn't said, what the hell can we do about these judges that are killing us, that are killing us. They're killing us on education issues. They're killing us on taxation issues. They're killing us on crime and punishment issues. They're killing us on issues. They're killing us on ballot language. They're killing us on voter ID. Well, here's the only thing you can do. I mean, this is the only thing you can do, and it's what you can do. You can tell one or two of these people, no, you just lost your damn job. That's my rant on Amendment 3. Lisa, you know what you got coming up this week?
We're going to have Gary Wigert on Wednesday evening. Gary's going to talk to us about the local control, the police issue here in St. Louis, and the ballot initiative attached to it. We're going to have Jill Johnson, I think, for the Missouri Coordinator for ParentalRights.org, talking about the Convention on the Rights of the Child going through the federal government and how Missourians can help stop that. And we will be talking more on Prop E.
All right, good. We'll be talking about Prop E and Amendment 3 every time we're on the radio. Sometimes it'll just be a couple of minutes. Say, you remember now, it's yes on Prop E. It's yes on Prop E. It's yes on Prop E. We'll be pushing this.
Look for that flyer on a MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org website near you very soon.
So you folks come away from tonight's show with a couple of action items. Look for that flyer, that Prop E flyer. Get some printed up. Get them out there in the community. Cast your net wider, as Lisa said. The vote is yes on Prop E. Get the word out. The other action item you have for tonight is to go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition Facebook page. Find that action item for the St. Charles County smoking ban. Get those letters out. Get those emails out. Let's flood these guys with email. Prayers from all the grassroots people for Vaughn Carricker, our Tuesday night hostess and great friend to me and Lisa and everybody in the state of Missouri who loves liberty, who loves freedom. And she'll be back with us as soon as she's able. Thursday night we'll talk, we'll rant about Long for quite a while, and we'll talk about this judge thing again. I got off on a rant tonight, too late to really get into my thoughts on it. And Friday night, of course, the roundtable, Lisa and I at a minimum, and probably maybe one or two other people, and maybe a caller or two, We'll sit around and we'll tear something else apart in the great empire of the state of Missouri, run by the bureaucrats and people who we need to hold accountable. For tonight, that's Missouri Grassroots Radio. Good night, Lisa. Always a pleasure.
Back at you, Dave. Talk to you soon.
Good night, listeners. Thanks for tuning in. We love every one of you.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.